Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au and we hope you enjoy today's message.
He is risen. It's a powerful thing. Worship feels different on this day, which is a really apt thing. It's right that it should. But we can take that into every day. I was watching the sunrise this morning through my bedroom window as I was praying for you all and for this service, and reminded that every morning the sun rises because the sun has risen. He's risen. Come with me to Matthew 28, 1 to 10. I'm going to be reading from a translation called the New Testament for Everyone, but the NLT will come up, which is a very similar translation. As we follow along, it says, dawn was breaking on the first day of the week. The Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene and the mother and the other Mary had come to look at the tomb, when suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven. He came to the stone, rolled it away, and sat down on top of it. That's like boss moment. That's like, all right, I can sit now. This is done. Looking at him was like looking at lightning. Have you ever had lightning strike really close to you? That wasn't rhetorical. You can answer back. Anyone? No? We had a lightning storm where we were there a little while ago, and it was so bright and loud because it was so close that it woke me up and woke our whole family up, actually, and my poor dog was quite nervous. Picture that. This is what we're talking about. We can sanitize these moments. Some of the artwork that sometimes we portray these things through, try to capture this, but kind of sanitize it. This was big. This was a huge moment. And his clothes were white like snow. The guards trembled with terror at him and became like corpses themselves. They fell down and fainted. Don't be afraid, said the angel to the women. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's being raised as he said he would. Come and see the place where he was lying. And then go at once and tell the disciples that he's been raised from the dead and that he's going on ahead of you to Galilee. That's where you'll see him. There, I've told you. The woman scurried off quickly away from the tomb in a mixture of terror and great delight and went to his disciples. Suddenly, there was Jesus himself. He met them and said, greetings. They came up to him, took hold of his feet, prostrating themselves in front of him. Don't be afraid, said Jesus to them. Go and tell my brothers that they should go to Galilee. Tell them they'll see me there. Here at the end of Lent, a time of bright sadness, we begin a new week, the biggest week of our year as believers. With the biggest day. I was saying on Friday, this should be for Christians like our New Year's Day. Doesn't New Year's Day carry something with it? A sense of new beginnings, new hope, new commitments that we probably know we won't commit to, but we at least make them. And the whole world gets caught up in this idea of this thresh moment. Well, this is our moment where he is raised to life. And that message should carry through each and every day for us as believers. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is risen. Where the light of Christ and his victory fully breaks over our darkness. That the Creator God has brought about a profound turnaround for his good creation. As the forces of darkness which fuel the evil chaos, greed, and corruption we see in the world were allowed to do their worst on Jesus, ultimately exhausting themselves on him. With his sacrificial death, the grip of sin and death is broken off creation. And for all of us who believe, this is what this means. It means we have been made right with God. Romans 4:24 says, God will also count us all righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. We have salvation. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. We have freedom from condemnation. In Romans 8, it says, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. You have a great advocate. Don't forget that, by the way. You will bring so much condemnation against yourself. You often don't need anyone to condemn you. Your own thoughts often will be condemning you, but Jesus is not. He is at the right hand of the Father, accusing the accuser and advocating on our behalf. We have therefore received the power to live a new life. Romans 6 says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. We have baptisms next weekend. If you're considering that, I really implore you to do that. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. 2 Corinthians 2 says this, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charge against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And we have the power and promise of resurrection with new bodies. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, we grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to be put in our heavenly bodies and put them on like new clothing. For we will be put on our heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. And 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for since we believe that Jesus Christ was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back those with him, the believers who have died. This is the promise that we have in Christ Jesus because of his resurrection, but it is only because of his resurrection. If he was, as some have said, just a noble teacher, and if his death was a noble but final martyr for his cause, without the resurrection, Jesus' message alone cannot fulfill what he promised to accomplish. Likewise, with no resurrection, our continuation of his message would also be a noble attempt to bring about something that we are powerless to do. It would be as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, and if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. In 17, he said, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, portraying this epic moment so well in the last battle that is captured within the first book. Aslan giving up his life, the lion, for all of creation, he dies. Right then and there, the table is broken, which represents the power that was exhausted on Christ, the power of the darkness behind it. But the witch didn't realize, and neither did his followers. But they make a commitment, Our king is dead, but we will continue his message. And they go to battle. But those have been frozen by the witch still stay frozen. And those that rise up against the witch cannot defeat her. Only when Aslan is risen, when he comes and breathes life back into the frozen people, when he comes and the witch sees her, then she recognizes that he has won. Because he has risen, we are guaranteed these promises. Only the resurrection can ensure our salvation. Only the promise of new life in the present and our future resurrection can save us from the enslavement of sin and the corruption of death. This is why the powers at the time tried to cover this up. The scripture we've just read, if you read before and after, it's the religious authorities and the Romans authorities trying to hide it. They're trying to seal up the tomb because they're worried someone will come and take the body. And at the end, when the guards come back and say, no, he's been resurrected, they pay them off to lie about it. Because the resurrection has power. If Jesus is risen, then this thing is real. It's not just some religious notion any longer. It's not just a religious message. It is the power of the resurrection, the sign that says he is king. So the guards, at seeing this resurrection, the ones who were protecting the corrupted interests of both Rome and Israel, collapse. It signifies that God and his purpose have won over the power of darkness. Jesus had accomplished what he said he would do and has thus launched his creation-wide rescue project to make all things new. Jesus Christ is resurrected. The power and wisdom of God has been revealed. And to all who receive it, this truth, by believing in Christ, you have received a wonderful inheritance of new life filled with increasing transformational hope. So as the angels and our Messiah said, don't be afraid. This moment is the moment that fear loses. Fear, the scripture says, has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with the sense that things are going to go wrong. Fear has to do with the sense that I can't do anything to change this. Fear has the sense that this thing is done. It's over. It's dead. But perfect love casts out all fear. Do me a favor right now. I want you to close your eyes. And if you're comfortable, lift your hands to God as a sign of openness in your heart to him. Bring every fear you have right now. And in a moment of today, such a holy moment, sometimes our fears can feel so trivial, but to God they're not. Might be a fear about a job. Fear about a family member. An illness you're carrying. Now, like a sun rising, see that fear just dissipate in the reality of his resurrection. Let every occasion of fear in this life surrender now to the risen King. And friends, this is how we live each day. Not ignorant of the trials of life, but with the perspective of resurrection. That he is king. That he is lifted up. That he is making all things work together for good. He's risen. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Savior and our King. And right now, in this moment, I want to give you an opportunity for anyone here today to receive that reality, to make that a truth in their heart, and to follow Him as King and Savior. This is the first step. It might be something you're doing for the first time in a long time. It may be a refreshment of a commitment. But today, why don't we pray this together? So in your heart, while your eyes are closed and you're focused on Him, pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I see You now, risen as my King and my Savior. I give You my whole life, all of it. Thank You, Lord God, for forgiving me, for cleansing me. I repent from sin and I turn to Christ. I choose to follow Him. Fill me now with Your life-giving Spirit. Amen. You know, at the end of the service, there'll be a few of us that will just wait up the side here, and we'd love to talk to you about that first step, that first decision you've made. It's really important that you don't just walk away with this thought and keep it as a notion that maybe you try and wrestle out over the next... No, come and talk to someone. It could be a family member, could be your home church leader, could just be, again, one of us down here at the team. Now, let me show you one more thing in this story before we close here today. The thing I love about the gospel is it constantly baffles me. Like, I was thinking of God's strategy here, and I got to admit that I kind of thought I could do it better. Like, what I see in this story is this immense magnitude of His resurrection, right? Like lightning, earthquake, thunder, angels, huge. Stand in this stark contrast to the humble beginnings of how He'd work it out. Like, if I was Jesus, I would have John Wayne'd this. I would walk with my followers, and anyone who doubted me on the way would suddenly see Jesus resurrected and thousands would follow Him. I would walk right up to Herod, right up to Pontius Pilate, right up to the chief priest and go, ta-da. But He doesn't. He comes to two women. You got to understand, in this day, this is not right, by the way, but in this day, no woman was allowed to go into any courtroom and bear witness to anything. Their testimony would never be accepted. This is one of the reasons I believe this, by the way. Because if I was going to manufacture a story about a resurrected king at that time, I would not put two women as the witness. It would have been laughable at that day. It's horrible, but that was the reality. But He comes to two women. He then says... He doesn't say, go and find me some new, fresh people that will actually follow me and won't run away at the first sign. He says, go and find those dejected losers, those really scared, timid disciples, particularly that one that denied me, not once, not twice, three times, man. Go and find them and then tell them, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go and... No, tell them, go to Galilee, the most despised town for anyone in Jerusalem or Judea. It was the town of the Gentiles, the town of the folk that have nothing to do with God. But what we see here is that in this huge world-orientating event of His kingdom coming, that it would be exactly like Jesus said it would be. It would be like a tiny mustard seed. Like a little tiny piece of yeast that goes in and just spreads. It would be these small moments. I'm reminded again of this story of Aslan and the witch and conquering of that C.S. Lewis writes about. After Aslan defeats the witch, the first thing he does is he turns to little Lucy, this small, timid, insignificant girl. He says, go and bring healing. She takes this little cup of oil that she's given him and starts to pour it on the injured, the wounded. This is the story of the resurrection, because we are called to become the resurrection message, followers of his kingdom, to bring healing, restoration, renewal, and hope through the message that you bring in the way that you live. Sometimes we will see big revival moments, but most of the time, it will be through ordinary people like you and me. People who do not feel like world-changing evangelists, but in our everyday, we reveal him so that people will see him in the peace that you have in your trials. The hope that shines through the moment of your sadness. The consistent choice to be kind, patient, and gracious. And the good works of your generosity when you put others before yourself. They can feel so small. Some of us can get so frustrated. God, I want you to do something in this world, change the world. Go and be kind. Oh, that's too small. So was sending two insignificant women to 11 dejected disciples into a town that no one wanted to hear about. This is the upside down way of the kingdom, friends. This is the resurrection life that's in you, friends. You can pour it out on others, friends. We actually carry a message that could change the whole world. And it'll come through moments that seem so insignificant. Husbands, it will be when you say sorry at home. Kids, it will be when you go back to school and you weren't meant to go back to school. Easter normally doesn't do this and we're meant to be on holidays. And now we've got to go back to 2 weeks of school and I'm not looking forward to it. You have an opportunity to bring love, peace, kindness and show the message of Jesus Christ. Today, church, let us fall at his feet. We're going to do that in a moment. We're going to worship him one more time. Let us worship him like the woman of this story. Let our hearts be filled with the message of his resurrection so that we are not afraid. Let us be caught up in the enormous joy that he is risen. And then let us go from this place, live each day in the light of his resurrection and be his witnesses, no matter how small or insignificant we may feel. Would you stand with me as we pray? One last time, lift your hands to God. Open your hearts to him. And open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead live in our mortal bodies. May we be people, your church, your ecclesia, your called out ones, filled with the power and the presence of you. And may we be messages to this world that the King of Kings is resurrected, that he is restoring and renewing all things. Enable and equip us as your church. Amen. We're going to sing this one more time together. Let him fill your heart and then go from this place changed. Let's be the light to the darkness around us. Sing.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.